Okay, sorry. I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 5:35 p.m. on Thursday, February 5, 2026. And present, we have Representative Allard, Representative Hannon, Representative Bynum, Representative Co-Chair Shragi, Representative Co-Chair Josephson, Representative Jimmy, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Stout, myself, Co-Chair Foster. Just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. We also have with us Representative Moore. And let's see here. So with that, just a reminder again, if folks can mute their cell phones, I will be announcing phone numbers for folks in the public who might be watching if you'd like to call in. So if you want to get a pen and paper ready, I'll announce that here in a moment. Also, I understand that folks may be getting dropped, possibly. I think part of the problem could possibly be because there are three different numbers. But if folks continue to have problems, I will reach out to my staff and see what avenues we have in terms of what possible solutions there might be. I was just saying that some people might be getting dropped, and part of the problem might be that there are three different numbers depending on where you're calling from in the state. But I'm just looking in the back here. If there are any other solutions, please feel free to pass me a note if that continues to be a problem. So with that, I also want to say that before us today is House Bill 284. That's the governor's omnibus tax bill. And we are going to have Ms. Amy Bushnell come up to give us just a brief recap of only the sales tax portion of the bill. Because there are three sections, three major parts to this bill, and that is the sales tax portion, the corporate income tax, also the oil and gas tax. And so because we did not get to the second and third pieces of the bill, we will not be taking public testimony on those pieces, but we will take public testimony on those later after we've had a chance to vet the other portions of the bill. And so I am going to announce the phone numbers again here, but before I do, Representative Allard, do you have a question?
Thank you, Representative Foster. So the information that was put out publicly kind of says something different. And I know much of the public that can get through was looking at testifying on the entire bill. So how are we going to, if they're not specifically speaking to taxes, are we just going to say, psst, quiet? But how are you going to do that? Sorry.
If folks could focus their comments on just the sales tax portion today. We had a very robust discussion both this morning and this afternoon. And so you're correct. We have not addressed the other two parts of the bill. And so we'll come back to that at another meeting. We'll have another opportunity for public testimony on those other pieces of the bill. Representative Josephson, do you have a...
I don't.
Okay. And so I think the other thing I wanted to mention is I will let folks know how many people we have online, just so you know, have an idea. At this point, I think the last I heard, there's only about 14 people. And so it's not many. So what will happen is if we are slated to go till 7:30, and so if some folks in the public might think that they're going to call in at 6:45, we will still be here. As we finish, if we get done early, with these 13 people and we're done in half an hour, then we'll take a break and we'll come back. I'll announce how many minutes we'll take a break to see if more people have called in. So the last two things, the call-in number and the email address. If folks are calling from Juneau and you'd like to testify, you can do so by calling 907-586-9085. And if you're calling from Anchorage, then you can call 907-563-9085. And then finally, if you're calling from anywhere else in the state, you can call toll-free 844-586-9085. I will repeat that, but first I'll give the email address that folks can submit written testimony to, and that is house.finance@akleg.gov. And so one more time with phone numbers, calling from Juneau, 586-9085. Calling from Anchorage, it's 563-9085. And then all other parts of the state, it is 844-586-9085. So with that, thank you very much, Ms. Bushnell, for being with us today. If you could just give us a real brief overview of the sales tax portion of the bill and what that does, just so folks in the public have a good idea of what we're talking about.
Thank you, Chair, Co-Chair Foster. For the record, my name is Amy Bushnell, Legislative Liaison to the Department of Revenue. So House Bill 284, it is one part of a larger fiscal plan put forward by the governor for the legislature to consider. As you mentioned, it has three parts, the sales and use tax, the corporate income tax, and the oil and gas production tax. The sales and use tax that the committee heard earlier today is what I'll keep my recap on. So this bill, it would create a seasonal tax of 4% from April through September, 2% from October through March. The bill would require sellers to collect and remit the tax to the state. The state would administer the tax and remit the proceeds back to the municipalities. The municipalities would need to conform to the state sales tax base and exemptions. 45 states currently levy a state sales and use tax, and at 4%, Alaska would tie with five other states as the second lowest rate. The intent is to have a very broad base that applies to most consumer goods and services. It is administratively simpler to start from an assumption of taxability, and a broad base allows for a low rate. The bill does list various exemptions to the sales tax, including jet fuel, healthcare services and related items, internet access, sales or construction of real property, and business-to-business transactions. And then that is the 30,000-foot level at part one of the omnibus sales tax bill.
Great. Thank you very much. That's perfect. Somebody passed me a note, and it's asking that all callers call one number. Is that correct? I'm looking over. Okay. So the one number that all folks should call is 907-586-9085. Thank you. With that, we'll go to our first person in the room here. Looks like we have one person in the room, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 people. And so we'll go to the room first, and then after we go to Mayor Beth Weldon in the room, we'll go to online Lester Black, Ken Huckabee, and then also Alex Wertheimer. Mayor Weldon, thank you for being here today. It looks like we don't have a lot of folks that are signed up at this point. So unless we start getting a lot more people, then we will start to look at time limits. But at this point, maybe folks could shoot for more than what we announced earlier, which was 2 minutes. We'll go with three. But if folks want to go a little over, we probably won't enforce it unless we get a bunch of people calling in. So with that, please put yourself on the record.
Thank you. I'm Beth Weldon, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau. And if you know me, I don't speak very long at all, so I'll be quick for you tonight. So thank you, Co-Chairs Foster, Josephson, and Chiragi, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. We appreciate the governor for stepping forward with a fiscal package. For many years, municipalities like Juneau have been urging the state to address its long-term structural deficit, and this is one of the first times in a long while we've seen a plan that acknowledges the need for new revenue. We value that effort. In Juneau, our community just had a robust conversation about sales tax policy during the recent local election. Voters approved new exemptions for food and utilities, essential items in a high-cost community. That vote demonstrates two things. First, our residents are paying attention to tax policy, and second, they value having the ability to make local decisions in local circumstances. Juneau has long supported the idea that the fairest statewide revenue tool is an income tax. We believe it asks residents to contribute based on ability to pay, but we also understand the political realities before you. This session, if a broad-based sales tax is the only revenue measure with a real path forward, Juneau understands, but we would like to see the legislature protect municipal authority and respect decisions local voters have already made. One concern we want to flag is how the state will handle enforcement. Juneau wants to be part of the solution. Local governments deliver many of the frontline services Alaska rely on every day: public safety, roads, utilities, recreation, and more. A strong state-local partnership is essential to any state sustainable fiscal framework. The state has needs, and we have needs. We're ready to work with the administration and the legislature to ensure that whatever revenue package moves forward supports both state stability and local autonomy. And that's it. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for being here. Do we have any questions of the committee? I don't see any, so thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So next we'll go online here. We've got Lester Black, and if you could identify yourself, your affiliation, as well as looks like you're calling from Anchorage. Mr. Black, if you're online. Perfect. Okay, Mr. Black, I don't hear Mr. Black online, so we'll come back to Mr. Black. Next up, we have Ken Huckaba calling in from Wasilla. If you could put yourself on the record.
Hello, I'm Ken Huckaba. I live in Wasilla, and I'm speaking for myself.
Great, thank you.
I am. Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I'm calling into the state my heartfelt opposition to HB 284. It's an extremely tone-deaf state government that can expand and bloat itself to such proportions that much of the legislative work goes into seeking new revenue at every turn and tries so hard to sell the state on such detrimental long-binding terms. I got to say, we just not read a word about the thousands of oil industry jobs lost in the past few months, and this is a grievous insult to that injury. We hear language earlier today about how this additional tax would stabilize things. We've also heard how we need to inflation-proof public employees, and we just heard in testimony what we all need to be paying for. But we don't hear any language about how we're doing fiscally out here to be able to pay for these things. And we just, like I said, you never heard about a lot of us losing our jobs. As a retired energy industry employee, I find it curious as to who worries about any stability for the people or small business who pay the bills around here. We've never heard the questions after the PFD takings and the layoffs from anyone about how the workers, recently unemployed, or retirees are going to pay for more taxes. This, coupled with the broad-based property tax increases, places small and shrinking working class in what can only be underrepresented indentured servitude for the benefit of a bloated state that's unwilling or incapable of right-sizing as necessary and shrinking when it needs to. I believe that with all considered, we are well in the destructive end of the parabolic Laffer curve that everyone knows about. It is inevitable that out-migration will increase and revenues will fall because of this. And to add, as the governor stated earlier, in a service industry state, adding jobs will only cause more bloated government. It is a quickening of financial failure emulated every single state and city that's done these things and increased its tax base. Is this tax on the vehicles that we need to work and conduct businesses? Is it on the food we need to feed our families? Is it on the transport that we need for affordable medical that we can't get in the state because of the certificate of need still in place? Is it on everything? I strongly urge dropping this bill and not passing it through this committee. In fact, now I'm down to begging because that's all I can do. I greatly appreciate the legislators protecting us on this as their efforts are critical. And God bless the state. It's going to need divine intervention because the human intervention seems to be failing us. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. I think we have a question. I just want to also note, I think I might have mentioned Representative Moore, but just in case I didn't, she's also here. And also, did I?
Can't remember. I was here, but then
left. And okay. Sorry. For the record, just so folks know that she's here. We have a question, Mr. Huckaba, from Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank Coach Foster, the chair, Mr. Huckaba. thank you for your testimony. I just wanted to make sure you're aware that this proposal is from the executive and not from the legislature. It was a little confusing by your testimony.
Oh, I understand entirely.
Okay.
I do understand that, sir.
Thanks.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thanking the legislators that are working for us trying to beat this. And I'm just speaking of the government, state government as a whole.
Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you very much. Also, regarding the phone number, it sounds like some of the problems that we had with people being dropped was using the 844 number, and we ask folks. Sounds like that line is having problems. So, again, the other number that I mentioned, if folks could call into the other number, and that is 907-586-9085, regardless of where you are in the state, if you could please call that number. Representative Allard.
Can you repeat that number? I just got a text that five people were dropped off.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Yeah, that number is 907-586-9085.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Great. Thank you. Okay. We'll go to the next testifier, and that is Mr. Alex Werthmeyer calling in from Juneau. And then after Mr. Werthmeyer, we've got Chris Noel, Thomas Morfitt, and Mike Milligan. So with that, Mr. Werthmeyer, if you could put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation.
My name's Alex Wertheimer. I'm in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm speaking for myself. And I thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on HB 284. I'm pleased to see the governor is finally considering a broad-based statewide tax to try and put the state budget on a sustainable path and avert a plunge off the proverbial fiscal cliff. Unfortunately, the governor's plan is flawed and actually contradictory to a statement that Alaskans deserve a stable rules-based fiscal system that avoids the boom and bust cycle that comes with a budget based on the price of oil. Instead, it proposes a plan for short-term relief through tax revenue, then blind faith in the volatile and uncertain revenue streams in the future from oil and gas extractions. I have several major concerns with the plan, but I'll focus on the statewide sales tax issue for now. A statewide sales tax is not the appropriate approach for Alaska. We need to return to a state income tax. I remember paying state income tax decades ago. It was a very simple process based on a percentage of your federal tax. It is a progressive tax system so that those who have limited income pay a lower percentage. It would recoup some of the money leaving the state with our large seasonal workforce who take advantage of the resources and opportunities Alaska provides without contributing to the infrastructure and operation of the state. A state sales tax would impact low-income people the most. It would also disrupt the current use of sales tax by many municipalities throughout the state to fund local government, including the elimination of exemptions crafted by the electorate in those jurisdictions. Also, the sunset provision on the new tax is very incredibly short-sighted. We've seen this movie. The state eliminated the income tax because oil would pay for everything, and we know where that has put us. It is very much wishful thinking that increases in oil and gas revenue will increase enough to offset the need for tax revenue, especially when you throw in the elimination of important current revenues such as the corporate income tax. We are back to the boom and bust that the governor says the plan avoids. If the state does indeed start to get increased revenue from new oil and gas projects, the tax rates can be modified to reflect that, but the taxes should not be eliminated. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this portion of HB 284. I'll send a written copy of my comments to the committee.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Werthmeyer. And I don't see any questions, so we were going to circle back to Mr. Lester Black, calling in from Anchorage. Mr. Black, are you there? Okay, we'll try him again here in a little bit. We're going to come down to, and just so folks know, we've got about 20 people online right now. Chris Noel, mayor for Denali Borough, calling in from Healy. Mr. Noel, if you could just confirm that by stating your name and affiliation.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster and co-chairs and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Noel, and I serve as the mayor of the Denali Borough. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 284, the sales tax portion of that. And I also wanted to echo Mayor Weldon in acknowledging and appreciating the governor for introducing this new revenue measure. The Denali Borough understands the state's revenue shortfall and the pressure it creates. We need support for our schools, a capital budget that makes a meaningful difference in halting the decline of large and important pieces of state and community infrastructure, in investments in new needs across the state, as well as inflation-adjusted programs so that we are not locked in a cycle of declining support. The borough has long supported a fiscal plan that includes new revenue, and we believe that an income tax is the fairest statewide tool because it asks Alaskans to contribute based on their ability to pay. It is also a tool the state is uniquely equipped to use and one that is not available to municipalities. A sales tax proposal must not undermine local authority or override decisions local voters have already made. Sales tax is among the most regressive revenue tools with the burden falling most heavily on low-income and vulnerable residents. It threatens local decision-making and voter-approved local policy choices. In the Denali Borough, House Bill 284 would impose a sales tax when voters have not yet approved a local broad-based sales tax. In many places, it would do so on top of local taxes that have already been approved, making day-to-day life more expensive. Finally, it would preempt local control by risking the subordination of municipal exemptions and caps to state law and layering state administration onto locally imposed taxes. Thank you, co-chairs, for the opportunity and members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Mayor Noel. I don't see any questions of the committee, so we'll move on to the next testifier, and that's Thomas Morfitt calling in from Haines. If you could, looks like, sorry, Mayor Morfitt, if you could just state your name and affiliation. Mr. Mayor from Haines, Mayor Morfitt, are you there? Okay, we'll go over to Mike Milligan calling in from Kodiak.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having this hearing. I am absolutely opposed to a statewide sales tax. This proposal punishes all those communities from North Pole to Nome to Homer to Kodiak that already have sales taxes. This also sets up the state of Alaska to create another bureaucracy to help manage a statewide sales tax. I lived in Fairbanks during the pipeline, and Fairbanks had a sales tax. I think in 75 or 76, they had over $20 million in extra revenue from a sales tax. The number one rule of any tax since before Fred Flintstone is that you always tax the other guy. You always tax the other guy. We have a situation in Alaska where we allow foreign multinationals to lose money in a foreign country and bring those losses back to Alaska so they can deduct them from the obligation they have in Alaska oil taxes. So there's so many reasons to be opposed to this. But the number one reason why everybody in the legislature should oppose a statewide sales tax is that it removes one of the few tools that Bush Alaska has to manage alcohol. And if you do this, it's just going to create more problems and create more things that need a solution. Sales taxes should be local. They should be figured out in Wasilla, figured out in Kodiak, figured out in North Pole. They should not be allowed to be managed by the state. I'm opposed to this, and I look forward to the legislature putting some local input into this misguided state proposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions. Representative Stapp?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair. Thank you for testimony. I especially like the Fred Flintstone line. Just to be clear, any comments on you are getting a bigger constitutionalized dividend on this proposal? I don't know if you want to comment on that. Thanks.
Mr. Milligan?
Yes.
Representative
I'm here. Did you ask a question?
Representative Stapp has a question.
Oh. I just wanted to say the one of the purpose behind the sales tax is to get you a bigger PFD, and I just thought that wasn't clear by your testimony, so I didn't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Oh, on the PFD, well, like so many people in coastal communities, we've traditionally supported a statewide income tax. Because coastal communities have so many outside people that come into the community. So I agree with the Hammond philosophy that the PFD was not an entitlement. It was taking money away from the government to give us control, individual control over it. It was not supposed to be an entitlement. I look forward to my PFD. I think it's a great program. I think more countries should use it. But I don't see the sales tax as protecting a PFD. What I see a threat to the PFD is giving multinational oil companies an excuse to launder losses here in the state of Alaska. And that's something that I hope the legislature is able to address during this final session.
Thank you very much. Representative Allard?
Can I just do a point of clarification with the caller?
Sure, Representative Allard.
Just for clarification, are you saying that you would forgo your PFD not to have sales so that we wouldn't have sales tax?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think we should get rid of the PFD. The PFD is something that gives citizens power. It's a power issue. It's not a money issue. It's a power issue. And I don't support anything that would get rid of the PFD.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any further questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Milligan. We have two people. Thank you. We have two folks who I'm going to round back to see if we can get a hold of them. And but next up in line after them, I've got Kelly Droop, Tracy Schaefer, and Rob Christensen. So let's go back and see if Lester Black is online. Mr. Black, are you there? Okay, not hearing Mr. Black. We're going to go to Mayor Morfitt, Haynesboro. Are you there? Okay, not hearing him. We're going to go to Kelly Droop, calling in from Anchorage. If you can state your name and your affiliation. Kelly Droop, are you there? Okay, we'll come back to Kelly later. Tracy Schaefer, calling in from Kotzebue. Are you there? Okay, no Tracy Schaefer. I wonder if Mr. Stett, Representative Stett.
It kind of feels like there might be something wrong with our system with the amount, this amount of people who are not responding.
Right. Let's see if we can go to the next one here. But I think, I don't know if it's possible to check and see if there's any way to find out more information maybe. Let me check the next
Chair.
Two people.
Maybe you want to give out your cell phone number.
You give mine out. I give it to everyone.
Oh. Okay, Rob Christensen, are you there? I was going to say. We're going to do a brief at ease and just make sure things are okay with our phone system, so brief at ease.
29 years.
Okay, House Finance back on record. Also would like to note that we do have with us this wonderful evening Representative Elam. Thanks for joining us here. And as we take public testimony on this bill. So it sounds like sometimes when folks drop off, normally on my list here it would show that, but they're dropping off kind of quickly and not quick enough for, not giving enough time for our LIO folks to be able to mark them as having left the call. So it sounds like the next person is online. That's Gila Stewart calling from Haines. If you're there, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Yeah, my name is Gila Stewart, and I'm calling. I'm the finance director for the Haines Borough, and I wanted to thank you for this opportunity to testify on House Bill 284. Our mayor, Tom Morfitt, wanted to address you this evening, but unfortunately, we have a Haines Borough Assembly meeting tonight that's happening right now, and he's chairing that meeting. So I wanted to say a few words and testify on behalf of Haines in his stead. The Haines Borough is heavily dependent on local sales tax revenues in order to provide services for our residents and visitors. Currently, sales tax pays for 30% of all general fund services, and it pays for 45% of our police protection and public works. This fall, Haines residents voted in an increase to our current sales tax rate, which will increase our summer rate to 7%. This was done largely in response to increased need for funding for our local school district as state support has decreased in recent years. As a rural Alaskan community, our residents are already stretched to the max, paying for fuel, utilities, and groceries without the double-digit sales tax rate that this state proposal would bring on Haines residents. The governor's proposed plan would greatly inhibit the Haines Borough's ability to provide services to residents and visitors. We understand the state's experiencing a revenue shortfall, but the proposed sales tax would undermine the Haines Borough's ability to provide services. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Stewart. I don't see any questions of the committee. Just so folks know, if you're called in and you're waiting, you're wondering how many people might be online. Currently, we've got 18 people online, and the next three that I have in the queue are Brian Smith, Sam Chenner, and Elizabeth Bacom. So with that, Mr. Smith, calling from Anchorage, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Yeah, hi. This is Brian Smith. I'm speaking on my own behalf. I'm a teacher here in Anchorage School District. And with the budget cuts that we're experiencing now, I certainly understand the need for the state to raise revenue. The situation we're seeing in our schools is going to break several schools. It's going to break teachers. People are going to be in tears. It's going to be terrible. That said, a sales tax is just not the way to go. Regressive impacts all around the state, taking more relatively from people who have less to offer. I understand the governor's proposal pencils out to roughly $1 billion a year in additional income. I would suggest that we could get roughly the same amount, not with a sales tax, but by specifically looking at a couple of lines in the tax code that credit oil companies with roughly $1 billion a year for the past couple of years. I found this information on the Department of Revenue site. Their spring 25 revenue forecast lists for fiscal years 22, 23, and 24 a total of $2.9 billion in producer credit from two statutes, Alaska Statute 4355-024-IMJ. A huge amount of money that we're giving away. So instead of that sales tax, that would be my suggestion, to look at those oil tax credits that we're giving away. And if we need additional revenue, then I would agree with some of the previous callers that an income tax is clearly the more fair way to go, but also capture some of the seasonal income from seasonal employees and transient employees who work too on and too off. Thank you for the opportunity to testify for you, and I'll be submitting some written notes for you.
Great. Thank you very much. I don't see any questions from the committee on that note about submitting written testimony. Just a reminder, people can submit written testimony by emailing us at house.finance@akleg.gov. Next up, I have Mayor Sam Chinala, and he's calling in from Tuksuk Bay. If you could state your name and your affiliation.
Chairs and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sam Chinala. I'm the mayor for the city of Tuksuk Bay. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on HB 284. I oppose the passage of HB 284 in order to authorize the Department of Revenue to enter into the streamlined sales and use tax agreement or substantially similar agreement. Tuksuk Bay was one of the 15 municipalities that joined the Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax Commission in 2019. To this day, the ARSSTC membership expanded to about 50. Tuksuk Bay receives monthly deposits from ARSSTC on timely manner for our sales tax revenue. If Tuksuk Bay will continue to receive late the community assistance program payments beyond the month of July, I fear with the passage of 284, Tuksuk Bay will not receive monthly sales tax revenue on a timely manner. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. We have a question from Representative Jimmy.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Thank you, Mayor Chinala, for calling in. And I just wanted to ask and put on record for you to share the things that Tuksuk Bay use for local tax and what are the needs the city has beyond these.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'll ask again. What kind of things does Tuksuk Bay use with the local tax, and for what are the needs the city has beyond? Like, jamkadulakdukut sales tax samak Tuksukami.
So, city of Tuksuk Bay, in the administration department itself, sales tax income is like 19% of the administration revenue. The administration income alone pays for four departments: the administration and finance, city council, public safety, and public works. We have our authorized budget. Our expenses are more than the admin income, and we use the sales tax revenue to offset costs for street lights, for street lights is one of them. I'm not prepared fully to answer the question.
Representative Jimmy.
Follow-up. Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Jalit Una Abjugia Kamkin, is there enough to pay for a fire department in Tuksuk with the local sales tax of Tuksuk Bay?
The question, to pay enough?
Does Tuksuk Bay, with the sales tax rate right now locally for Tuksuk alone, does Tuksuk Bay have enough sales tax funds to support a fire department in Tuksuk? In other words, does Tuksuk Bay have a fire department?
The sales tax income is not enough to pay for the services that Tuksuk Bay provides. Our sales tax rate never changed ever since the sales tax started.
Follow-up, Coach. Hello? Could you please share on record, when there is a fire in Tuksuk Bay or in any villages, how is a fire dealt with?
The community of Tuksuk Bay was a recipient for the fire code of fire equipment. The fire equipment has been outdated. Only if we can use the fire code red equipment, because we need to be near the fire hydrants. Fire hydrants isn't for firefighting purposes. It's to relieve the pressure of the water line.
So, just to make it clear, in Tuksuk we do have a fire hose, but it's not rarely used. But in other villages, people cannot respond with a fire department. There's none whatsoever out in the rural area, but people do respond to fires with 5-gallon buckets, manpower, basically just throwing water on flames, correct?
Yes.
Goyana. Thank you.
Representative Froggy?
Yes, thank you, Chair Foster. And through the chair, just a quick clarifying question. I thought I heard Mayor Chinar, thank you for being here, state that their community did not receive timely community assistance payments, and I just wanted to verify that, because that's the first time that I had heard that those payments weren't going out in a timely fashion.
Mayor Chinar, do you have an answer to that?
Yes. I testified for House Bill 133 last year in support of payment of contracts, because the community assistance program that we have received in fiscal year 22, it was in the month of September. In fiscal year 23, August. In fiscal year 24, and fiscal year 25, in the month of October. And for this fiscal year, we received it in September.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any further questions. Mayor Chinar, thank you very much for calling in. The next three names I have up are Elizabeth Bacom, Carolyn Storm, and Teresa Obermeyer. Ms. Bacom, if you could put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Bacom, and I'm calling from Petersburg, Alaska. And I'd like to thank you all for taking public testimony on HB 284. A statewide sales tax is not good for Alaskans that are already struggling to pay for groceries, utilities, childcare, rent, and a number of other things. A so-called temporary sales tax will disproportionately impact those who are low or fixed income, as well as local businesses. For Petersburg, that turns us into a 10% sales tax community. Additionally, some communities are already using local sales tax revenue to provide services like road, fire, police, libraries, and many other things that keep our citizens safe and our lives enriched. A state sales tax will be an additional and unnecessary burden for those residents and those communities. I support a fair and reasonable income tax structure that is specifically targeted to fund education. A tax that won't impact those considered low income and addresses the dollars earned in Alaska that also leave Alaska. I implore the members of this committee to work creatively across the aisle to keep Alaska on a sustainable path for all who are fortunate to call this home. And I thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions, so we'll go to the next testifier. That's Carolyn Storm calling in from Anchorage.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Hello. Co-Chair Foster and other co-chairs, thank you for this opportunity and thank you for taking public testimony. My name is Caroline Storm. I am testifying for myself this evening. I do support the legislature analyzing options for new revenues as oil and federal revenues continue to shrink. But based on the ICER presentation of the fiscal options in front of the legislature, I think and don't support the sales tax because it is so regressive. It is especially regressive without additional exemptions for unprepared food, formula, diapers, menstrual products, basic first aid, etc. The legislature has before it three easy revenue options that could be voted on and implemented this year. The online sales tax, repeal SB 21 from 2013, and close the S-Corp loophole. Please continue to analyze revenue measures that are the least regressive for the people of Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in. Ms. Storm, I don't see any questions, so we're going to go over to, we've got next, the next three are Teresa Obermeyer, Rita Trometer, and Tara Hutchinson. And so, Ms. Obermeyer, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Good evening. Can you hear me, Teresa Obermeyer?
Ms. Obermeyer, if you could get maybe a little bit closer to the mic, it's kind of cutting in and out a little bit.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I want to relate to Ms. Caroline Storm's testimony. I certainly do want an online sales tax, and I definitely support the S-Corp loophole. And I cannot believe we let Mr. Hildebrand play polo as our children do not get an education. I want to mention that I represent a total in my immediate family that live here in Anchorage of 14 people. That's 8 adults and 6 children. I cannot support any new taxes in Alaska, and because you see, ladies and gentlemen, I've read that we would have to hire 67 new state employees to implement a sales tax. This is ridiculous. And I don't support it because we are handing out money on one hand and taking in money on another. This doesn't make any sense. So I really hope that you will not support any new sales taxes at all. I lastly want to mention, I find it really kind of comical that at the end of Governor Dunleavy's administration, he has some big fiscal plan that goes through 2031. Ladies and gentlemen, we know you cannot implement anything more than 1 year. And he should have been doing this at least since he was first elected, and certainly when he was reelected. Not at the end of his administration. So thank you for hearing me, and I appreciate it. What a neat group of people you have heard from. They really impress me. A lot of mayors, they're all marvelous. We're Alaskans, and we care. Thank you so much for hearing me.
Thank you so very much for calling in. I don't see any questions. So next we're going to go to Rita Trometer, calling in from North Pole, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hello, this is Rita Trometer from North Pole.
Thank you. Please
proceed. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, this is Rita Trometer from North Pole, and I'm talking on my own behalf. I understand the government... Am I coming through?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I understand the government would like to increase income to our state since you are unable to maintain a workable budget by making the legislative departments cut budgets. If you are going to have a seasonal tax throughout the summer months, I would hope that the Alaskan residents with a photo ID would be exempt. But still having a tax throughout the winter months at the reduced rate for all the necessities such as fuel oil, gasoline, food, medical supplies is not helpful. but persons who are on government subsidies like WIC and food stamps would not be charged the tax. That's definitely not treating people equal. Not sure how that is actually helping the working person that is trying to make ends meet. This bill is taxing everything that comes into the state, items purchased out of state, and even vehicles. So does that mean that somebody who has a vehicle they purchased a few years ago and is still making payments, as they register the vehicle in Alaska, they will pay tax? What would the tax be on a used vehicle? For years, legislators talked about people leaving the state because they could not afford to live here, but now they're making it more unaffordable. Do you think that's going to get more people to stay in the state as the cost of living rises? Think about the people in the interior that had the severe cold for the month of December and is now getting those utility bills. I am not sure that the taxes are going to entice anybody to reside here long term. If you think that we do need a sales tax, then completely eliminate property taxes. Some residents might be more understanding. Please vote no on HB 284 as written. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We do have a question. Representative Stout.
Thank you, Chair Foster. To the chair, to Ms. Trometer, Rena, it's always good to hear you call in, and I hope everything's doing good in Fairbanks, and I am a no on the bill.
Okay. I don't see
Thank you, Mrs. Stout.
Thank you. Okay. Next next three, we have our Tara Hutchinson, Kate Vey, and Miguel Ramirez. Ms. Hutchinson, if you can state your name, your affiliation. Looks like you're calling from Fairbanks.
Yeah, hi, this is Tara Hutchinson. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So I'm calling to share my thoughts on the proposed fiscal year 26 budget. I propose the budget as is. Governor Dunleavy's legacy will be remembered for failing Alaskan children by not supporting education funding for the term of his governorship, selling out Alaskans to big business, and oil and gas companies, and for his wasteful spending on frivolous lawsuits that don't benefit Alaskans that he lost. While I love that for his timeline, I don't believe we should allow him to add to that list by further burdening Alaskan families and their pocketbooks. We already have a president doing that with tariffs. I support passing legislation included in the bill that has been previously vetoed by the government. I support appropriately taxing S corporations and oil and gas companies. I support reining in ADA expenditures by passing more congressional oversight of their activities. After these things pass, I would support taxing Alaskans, not with a sales tax, but by an income tax that would include income from some of the highest earners that I have worked with that don't live in state and are provided transportation directly to their work site and then back to the airport, whether it's on the North Slope of Alaska or the Hard Rock Mines across Alaska. Those are the end of my comments, but I did hear a question earlier, and it was to the effect if the bill provides a bigger PFP, would you support it? And while, of course, everybody loves a bigger PFP, I do want to point out that these dollars are taxed by the federal government, and so a majority of our state resource dollars would then be going to the federal government. I just wanted to point that out, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to hear public testimony, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hutchinson. Next up, we have Kate Vey calling in from Soldotna. If you can state your name and affiliation.
Hey, this is Kate Vey from Soldotna. I hope you can hear me because it's really crackly here, but I oppose the tax. I would like to see, like, you know, vapes, things that are bad for you, alcohol being taxed because they're so bad for you. But here's what I'm going to say. It's time to tax the rich. I'm also going to say you need to start looking into an income tax, and that's where I'm going to end my phone call. Thank you for listening to me. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you very much for calling. We have a question if you're still there, Representative. Oh, no.
A clarification. Did she say tax the rich?
Ms. Vey, are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, I can barely hear you. Say it again.
Representative Allard?
Did you say tax the rich?
I did say tax the rich, yes.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Vey. Okay, next up we have Miguel Ramirez and then Sandra West. Mr. Ramirez?
Yes, good evening to the legislature. Thank all of you for what you do. I am Miguel Ramirez. I live up in Fairbanks. I am representing myself this evening. I'm here to testify on HB 284. What a historic moment. Our governor has been pushed back into pushing this bill because our legislature, since 2013, hasn't been smart about money, in my opinion. Do any Alaskans really think that the legislature will honor a sunset of this tax? I don't know, because once they see billions coming in, they tend to spend more and more and more. I honestly don't think that the legislature in the future will honor a sunset. I saw some testimony earlier that if somebody was to buy a vehicle from such state as Washington, that they would be taxed bringing it in to the state. Why should Alaskans be told by the state government how and where to spend their money and then get punished for spending their hard-earned dollars? I don't think the government has a right to tell people how and where to spend money, nor to punish people for spending their hard-earned money. And look, they are contributing to the state because they are staying and living in this state. My other thing is, they say that we will get a bigger PFB. Well, I am one of the shareholders of the PFB. The PFB should have never been touched to run the state government, in my opinion, at all. It was a fully funded PFB, which the money should have never been touched to run state government. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but also pandemic money that came in federally should have not been used to run the state government. Now, some of you have been sitting on the legislature maybe 15, 20 years, that, or possibly there many years ago. So when a governor is pushed back and his administration is pushed back into looking for ways to make revenue, it's crazy. If the great state of Texas and Florida, if their governors succeed in making zero property taxes for everyone in those states, can you imagine the out-migration that Alaska is going to have? I've noticed that when Representative Stapp seems to ask questions of commissioners of IRS, he could never get a straight answer, especially when he is asking a yes or no question of these such representatives. So I don't know where I stand on HB 284. I know we need to stop out migration. I've always said, for some reason, the legislature does not want to get rid of vacant positions that may be bringing back, I don't know, $200,000 or $300,000 to the government. Maybe move the session back to the road system and leave the capital where it is. That may be bring back additional funding to the state government. I thank all you all for what you do for representing your communities. It takes a lot to hear all of us, and I thank you for taking the time to hear me this evening.
Thank you for calling in, Mr. Ramirez. I don't see. Oh, we have a question. Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Shout out to Mr. Miguel Ramirez. Thanks for calling in and this shout out. Appreciate it.
Great. Okay, I don't see any other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Sandra West, Laura Bonner, and Glenda Ledford. So next we'll go to Ms. Sandra West calling in from Kodiak. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hello, this is Sandra West. I'm from Kodiak Island, the land of the Aleutic and Chugiak people. I am on the city council, and I am speaking on my own behalf. I want to thank the co-chairs and the members of the committee for the opportunity to testify for House Bill 284. I understand the state's revenue shortfall. We also have a shortfall. I support broad-based revenue, and income tax is the fairest statewide tool because it asks Alaskans to contribute based on the ability to pay. I repeat, the ability to pay. Bottom line, HB 284 would increase the total tax burden on Alaskans.
And in many places, it would do so on top of local taxes that voters have already approved, making day-to-day life more expensive, squeezing household budgets statewide. In my community, an additional sales tax would mean additional costs for the very basics of life, food and shelter. I just want to repeat, it will increase the cost for food and shelter. The burden of the state of the sales tax will fall on the low income and our most vulnerable residents. Our community sales tax system includes things that voters approve to make the system workable. Thank you very much, Chair and members of the committee. I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you very much. We've got a question, Representative Allard.
Thank you for calling in tonight. So would you, since you want an income tax, would you agree to a flat income tax price, like percentage for everybody, you know, whatever that might be, regardless of your income, flat income tax percentage?
Ms. West?
I would have to say I am not familiar with that enough to say yes or no.
I'm going to just clarify just a little bit. If I got taxed 3%, would you be willing to get taxed 3% on your income, regardless of
yes,
how
ma'am.
Much we make? Okay, thank you.
Okay, I don't see any further questions. Thank you very much, Ms. West, for calling in. Let's see here. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got 10 folks on the line, just so folks know how long the wait is. So next up we have Ms. Laura Bonner, then Glenda Ledford, and Randy Griffin. So Ms. Bonner, if you're there calling in from Anchorage, if you can state your name and affiliation.
Hi, my name is Laura Bonner, and I live in Anchorage. And my testimony is going to be kind of disjointed, real quick. Sales tax is not the right way. It's really regressive, and it will hurt families the most. In the 5 years, the governor proposes to reduce corporate tax rate to zero, putting the burden on everyday Alaskans. Many communities already have a sales tax to pay for local services. I'm opposed to the PFD portion of it where he wanted to make it 50-50. I don't think that's sustainable. The Alaska fiscal policy document from the Alaska Municipal League makes more sense than the governor's bill. Joining the multi-state compact is not a good idea. The passage of SB 21 in 2015 has cost our state way too much. We didn't increase production, but Alaska is getting about a third of the revenue we did before passage of that bill. Like I said before, local communities already have a sales tax to provide their services. There are other ways for revenue, increasing the revenue. The online internet tax needs to pass, and an income tax would be easier to administer than what is proposed in the governor's bill. So I'm adamantly opposed to this bill. Needs to be totally rewritten, and I hope the legislature can come up with a better plan. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Great.
And good luck.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bonner. Next up, we have Mayor Glenda Ledford calling in from Wasilla. If you can just state your name and affiliation.
Chairs and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Glenda Ledford. I'm the mayor for the city of Wasilla in the Matsuboa. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on HB 284. Local governments have understood the state's revenue shortfall and the pressures it creates. We've long supported broad-based revenue, and we've constantly said an income tax is a fairish statewide tool because it asks Alaskans to contribute based on their ability to pay. But if a sales tax is the only proposal moving, It must not undermine local authority or override decisions local voters have already made. Let me state that again to be perfectly clear. But if a sales tax is the only proposal moving, it must not undermine local authority or override decisions local voters have already made. Bottom line, HB 284 would increase the total tax burden on Alaskans, and in many places it would do so on top of local taxes voters have already approved, making day-to-day life more expensive and squeezing household budgets statewide. Not only in my community, but that means groceries, diapers, heating fuel, and things that we use every day will have an added cost. A sales tax is among the most regressive revenue tools. The burden falls most on low-income and vulnerable residents. It threatens local decision-making and local voter-approved policy choices. The community sales tax system includes things that voters approve to make the system workable here. HB 284 risks subordinating municipal exemptions to state law and does not clearly protect voter-approved local choices. Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee.
Thank you so very much. We do have a question. Representative Moore.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Not a question, just always a pleasure to hear your voice. Mayor Glenda, thanks for calling in.
Okay, I don't see any further questions. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for calling in. Next up, we have Randy Griffin calling in from Fairbanks. If you can state your name and affiliation.
Hello. My name is Randy Griffin. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm just speaking for myself. And I am against the sales tax that is a part of HB 284. And the reason, my main reason is because it would destroy the honesty and the purity of our dividend, which so far has always been surplus money that's available after essential services are paid for. And some services are more important than the dividend, for instance, public safety and courts and snow removal and such. But there may be some things that are not more important than the dividend. The dividend is a wonderful thing. It's free money. But any state that can hand out free money to all of its citizens certainly has no money problem. We're the only state that does that. And so it would change if we – it would basically, if we had a sales tax or an income tax for that matter, it would change our PFD into a PAP, which is a public assistance payment. And they shouldn't even ever call it a dividend again, because a dividend generally means you got surplus money, like a business that has profit. They can pay their shareholders a dividend. Sometimes they don't pay them a dividend. A lot of companies don't pay a dividend at all. But and I do not want it to change into welfare. Right now, there's no shame in taking the PFD. But if there is an income transfer going on where we're sucking money out of the pockets of Alaskan people just to give it to other people in Alaska, who many of them not working, many of them drug abusers or bums or what have you, we should not do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with the public assistance payment as long as it goes to needy people that, you know, have no other way to help them get back on their feet. But that's why I'm against the sales tax. I consider the lack of a sales tax and the lack of an income tax, which is a hurdle to try to achieve those things. And so the lack is like a barrier to excessive government spending. We spend plenty of money, and we will get more money as the permanent fund grows into the future. And so I do not want to breach our barrier from the PF, from the taxes washing in on us, just like in the Netherlands. They've got a seawall that keeps the North Sea back from washing in, and I would not want to see that breached and that barrier broken. And I do not want to break our barrier, which is no income tax and no sales tax. And that's my opinion.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Griffin. I don't see any questions. So next up, we're going to go to Mr. James Acarelia, calling in from Skemmin Bay. After that, we've got Roberta Murphy and Jacqueline Muehlbauer. So with that, James, good to have you on board here. Please proceed with your testimony.
Good evening. This is James Akira. I'm the RTG president. I'm also the resident of Scammon Bay. We are in opposition of the sales tax being proposed because it puts burden to our people in rural Alaska. Everything costs more before tax even starts. Freight, barges, planes cost a lot of money out this in our villages. It already costs 2 to 4 times what it does on the road system. Sales tax stacks on top of that. We're also paying chair, which has brought our fuel to our region, to our villages, about $40,000 a year. That's puts us on a survival. Not, it's just not convenient. I feel there's no substitutes or no competition. If there's one store or a few stores, one supplier, you can't shop around to avoid the tax. You pay it or you go without it. And the money that our people make out in our villages is not disposable income. Many rural households rely on seasonal work, subsistence, fixed income, flat sales tax, a large share of that, what middle class people have. And that's my testimony.
Great. I appreciate your calling in. I don't see any questions. Oh, we do have a question, Representative Jimmy.
Oh, it's more of a comment. Rihanna, Mr. Aguirre, for calling in and giving a good perspective on rural and what it means, the effects of this if it was to pass. Guyana.
Thank you.
And I just want to say James is somebody I've known for a long time, and I look forward to seeing you this summer. So thanks for calling in. Roberta Murphy calling in from Emonic. If you can put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation.
Hello, this is Roberta Murphy. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. If you could put yourself on the record.
Hi, I'm Roberta Murphy. I am from Emonic. I am the tribal administrator for Chulunuk Native Village. I am against House Bill 284 because, like, just in my office, we get a lot of donation requests for assistance with food and utilities. Because they are unmet needs, and we get a high volume of requests. The city government depends on our local taxes. We only have one cargo that really comes here to Emonic. And in the past 6 months, like a case of top ramen went from $20 to $25. This is real, you know, we're already suffering in rural Alaska because of the prices we have to pay for it to come out here from Anchorage. Like, I am considered, you know, like, in Emonic, I'd be considered, you know, like, I'm not on assistance. And I'm barely making it, you know, because the price of everything that, you know, just to live here, my stove oil costs $9.68 a gallon. Everything, you know, at the AC store, my grocery bill is like $700. And that's every 2 weeks. And we are... We're already trying to make our money stretch, and you're asking us to make it stretch even more, and it doesn't have to. I know there should be other sources to find this money, or, you know, you tighten your belt a little bit. A majority of the Emonic
the people here live off food stamp and heating assistance, and there's a lot of people, there's some people who don't qualify for any of that. And, you know, on top of that, you know, if our snow machine breaks down, we have to order parts. And in order for it to come in a timely manner, we have to put it on the one cargo that charges $78 for 23 pounds of freight. Our snow machines and four-wheelers are used to go fishing, check nets, go hunting, get wood. Because we cannot totally depend on what's at the store, because we can't afford it. So we subsidize with our fishing game and wood. I'm sorry. Imanek had a a cannery. And it it employed many people in the region, but we don't have that anymore. With the fishing collapse, all the people that depended on working there and selling their fish there no longer have that. So, don't give us a steep tax. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Murphy. I don't Representative Jimmy and Representative Jimmy.
Thank you, Ms. Murphy, for calling in and giving that very hard testimony. It's all too familiar to us, coming from the rural. I just have one question. What is the sales tax up in Imang right now?
It's either 3% or 3%. Yeah, I know the community, there was a vote to try to get it to 4%, but that was a hard no.
I would still say that was, it's still pretty high. And I have one more question, Co-Chair Foster, thank you.
Representative Jimmy?
Would you support keeping the tax on businesses instead of making it smaller?
that's a loaded question. The businesses in Imanek.
Let me be clear. Would you rather tax big corporations, businesses, instead of making it smaller?
Yes.
Thank you.
100%.
Oyana.
Did we ever
they are money-making people, and they could continue making more money.
Do we have any other further questions of the committee? Seeing none. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Murphy, for calling in. Next, we're going to go over to Jacqueline Muehlbauer. Then after that, we have Rosalind Grady, I believe, Weick, and then Barbara Haney. Ms. Muehlbauer, calling in from Fairbanks, if you can state your name and affiliation.
Hi, good evening. Yes, my name is Jacqueline Muehlbauer. I'm calling on behalf of myself here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm calling on my opposition to HB 284, mostly because, as everyone else has testified, it is hard on local governments, and it's even harder on lower and middle income Alaskans. And I'd even say it's harder on those of us who fall in higher income brackets. I just paid a $1,200 oil bill for having to get through heat. We had the record lows, and that oil bill is not fun for anybody. But my suggestion, instead of a sales tax, would be to tax the oil companies. It's appalling how much they get out of our resources in Alaska. They absolutely should be paying our state so that we can have the best schools in the country, the best roads in the country. There is no reason to not tax oil companies. But beyond that, we absolutely should have an income tax. Most other states do. We don't, which is wonderful, but
we can't keep believing in the PSC. We have to start thinking about how the future is going to look, and that is going to mean taxes. And we can't eliminate the corporate tax for the same reason. These companies make enough money. They can absolutely afford to pay taxes to our state, make our state better, and make a profit. The legislature has a duty to Alaskans, not to corporations. Please don't starve our state for some mythical tax breaks that will generate economic activity. We give enough as Alaskans. It's time for our state to start giving back and helping us be the great state that we want it to be. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. We have Representative Stout.
Yeah, thank Co-Chair Foster to the chair, to Ms. Jacqueline. Always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, I don't see any other comments. So with that, thank you very much, Ms. Muehlbauer. Next, we'll go to Rosalind Grady, and I'm sorry if I've got your last name incorrectly pronounced. Weick, I believe, calling from Anchorage, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hello, you said my name right. Good evening, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rosalind Grady White, and I'm here today actually as myself. And being a resident of Mountain View, one of Anchorage's most diverse and most disenfranchised urban neighborhoods, I'm speaking because Alaska needs real sustainable revenue, and we must choose the least regressive path forward. I oppose a statewide sales tax. I support restoring oil taxes. I support a progressive income tax. And I oppose eliminating corporate taxes. Sales taxes don't hit corporations first. They hit families. They raise the cost of groceries, diapers, gas, and school supplies. They force working people to choose between food, rent, medicine, and keeping the lights on, while large companies continue to receive tax breaks. That is not fiscal responsibility. That is shifting the burden downward. In Mountain View, I see exactly what this does. Families are already stretched beyond stretch. Elders are already choosing between prescription and groceries. Parents are already juggling multiple jobs just to survive. A sales tax doesn't just inconvenience communities like mine. It harms them. As a new small business owner, I know sales taxes are passed directly to customers. As a parent of five, I feel every increase at the register. And as an educator, I see the consequences of underfunding every day. Fewer supports, burdened out staff, overcrowded classrooms, and our kids are paying the price. If we're serious about fairness, Alaska needs a progressive income tax, one that protects low-income families, scales with ability to pay, and includes non-resident workers who benefit from our roads, schools, and public services. Not a flat tax, not a sales tax, a progressive income tax. We also need to stop pretending corporate tax giveaways create prosperity. Alaska tried that. What we got instead were underfunded schools, aging infrastructure, workforce shortages, and families leaving. Revenue is not abstract. It determines whether children have counselors and whether communities remain stable. We also need to stop this mixed messaging. Alaskans being told that to protect the PFD, they must accept a sales tax. That is false. We should not be forced to choose between a dividend and a functioning state. Tax big corporations, restore oil taxes, implement a progressive income tax. Stop putting this burden on working families. The PFD was never meant to replace a revenue system. Using it as leverage creates fear and division. And I want to say this plainly. Nobody in that legislature complained about receiving that $30,000 raise. But when everyday Alaskans are asked to contribute through a fair system, suddenly it's controversial. When we travel out of state, we pay into other states' taxes. That's normal. People who come here to work should contribute too. We must stop putting this on Alaskans alone. I urge you to reject the statewide sales tax, restore oil taxes, and adopt a progressive income tax. Protect corporate taxes. Choose the least regressive path. I live in Mountain View. Sales taxes hurt communities like mine first. Don't make working families pay more so corporations pay less. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. I don't see any questions at the committee. Just so folks know, we only have five people in line here. We'll go till 7:30. The next three I have are Barbara Haney, Rebecca Logan, and Rebecca Braun. So with that, Ms. Haney, calling in from North Pole, if you can state your name and affiliation.
Greetings. My name is Barbara Haney. I'm testifying on my own behalf, and I'm calling from North Pole, Alaska.
Ms. Haney, if you could get a little bit closer to the mic.
How's this?
And please proceed.
Is this better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to be a little bit against the grain here. I don't want to talk about the PSD issue so much, but I think looking at a sales tax statewide is actually quite appropriate. When you consider the other option is an income tax. If those are your two options, you are much better off with a sales tax than an income tax. The wealthy can always find ways to avoid income taxes, but it's pretty doggone difficult to avoid a sales tax. If you're poor and you're getting an EBT or you're on welfare, you're not going to pay sales taxes anyway. And quite frankly, a 3% tax, that, or a 4% tax, you're talking about a nickel. People aren't going to work very hard to necessarily avoid that. However, one of the things that I do find problematic about this tax is a couple of things. First, there's no local government carve-out, and I think that needs to be in place there if you're going to have a statewide tax. Secondly, I think if you're going to go with a...
Are you still there, Ms. Haney?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Did you have more, or was that the conclusion of your testimony?
No, I was still talking.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, apparently, whatever I've got to say is falling on deaf ears, so thank you very much. I sent an email, and have a great evening.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Haney, for calling in. Was there a question? Representative Galvin, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I think that there was a momentary shutdown on our system, so she may have felt like we were hanging up on her, and I just wanted to make sure that she knows her voice matters. We were all listening, and we're grateful that she called in. Thank you, co-chair.
Thank you for that clarification, Representative Galvin. don't see any questions. Did you have a question, Representative Stapp? No? Okay. Next, we have Rebecca Logan, Rebecca Braun, and then Lori Strickler. Ms. Logan, if you're there, calling in from Anchorage, if you can state your name and affiliation.
Yes, for the record, my name is Rebecca Logan, and I'm calling in as an Anchorage citizen tonight. And after listening to all the testimony, I might have the easiest request for all of you that anybody's put forward tonight. And my simple request tonight is that you follow the rules that you put in place for us. You noticed this hearing as being a hearing for people to testify on HB 284, and there were no sidebars about it, what you could testify on. It was the entire bill. So tonight, when people called in and were waiting to testify, I'm sure many people were surprised to hear that it was limited to the sales tax portion of the bill. In fact, I know that at least four of the people that you thought you lost on the phone hung up because you told them that they could not testify. And yet, as you let testimony continue, you clearly let people testify on things that didn't have anything to do with the sales tax. So that's my simple request. Please follow the rules that you set for all of us to follow. And I'd like to close by saying thank you for the opportunity to testify, but unfortunately, you did not give us the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. I'm going to go to questions. I think there might be a couple questions, but... we ran out of time this morning to take up the other two sections of the bill, including oil and tax as well as the corporate income tax. So we're going to come back to those pieces next week, and then we're going to be taking public testimony on those. I think, was there a comment, Representative Bynum?
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I was just wondering if the testifier had anything specific that they'd like to share other than that.
No, I do not. We'll wait until the other opportunities.
Thank you.
Okay.
But I just think it's disrespectful to business people who don't know that you did that during the day to make the changes when they've already called in. And I actually know two people who stepped up outside of very important meetings to testify so that their voices could be heard, and only to hear the chair of the committee tell them that they would not be accepting their testimony.
Yeah. I mean, happy to take that testimony now. Also, for folks just listening, for anybody, folks can submit written testimony to house.finance@akleg.gov. Yeah, we'll do the best we can, and we'll come back to that next week. So next up, we have Rebecca Braun, Lori Strickler, and then rounding out the evening will be Leon James. Ms. Braun, if you're there, if you could put yourself on the record.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thanks. This is Rebecca Braun. I'm a Fontaduna resident. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. My high school science teacher had a sign above his door that said PONSTOFL. And it was an acronym that stood for There Ain't No Such Thing as a Free Lunch. And it's really that simple. In my view, we can't have good schools and safe communities and plowed roads without money. So I appreciate this revenue conversation, but I don't support the governor's approach. I oppose reducing corporate income taxes. That just needlessly starves our state of resources and shifts more of the burden onto Alaskans. I don't support a state sales tax. As many have said tonight, it's really hard on municipalities that rely on local sales taxes. It disproportionately burdens low and middle income families. And it's very hard in rural Alaska where the cost of goods is already so high. Income taxes can be designed to protect low and middle income Alaskans and would be deductible off our federal taxes, so reducing a federal tax burden. An income tax would ensure we get a contribution from the 24% of our workforce that lives out of state and makes their living off our resources and our services and often pays income taxes to other states. We have the tools to solve our revenue problem. We can close the S-Corp tax loophole, tax out of state corporations doing online business in Alaska, and ineffective corporate tax credits. And we have the lowest individual tax burden in the nation, and I believe we could sustain a modest progressive income tax. In short, we really have the tools. We need the leadership and the courage to generate the revenue that will enable our state to thrive. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Braun. I don't see any questions of the committee. Want to note that we had Representative Johnson come in to join us earlier. Thank you for being here this evening. We have the last two I've got on the list here are Lori Strickler and Leon James. Lori Strickler calling in from Bethel, if you can put yourself on the record.
Thank you. My name is Lori Strickler, and I'm the city manager for the city of Bethel. I'm calling from a basketball game, so if it gets rowdy, I apologize. I'm calling to testify against proposed House Bill 284. As you know, the cost of living in Bethel and other rural Alaska communities is already higher than what many people can afford. This tax would disproportionately impact people living in rural Alaska and make life even less affordable for those who choose to call these communities home. The rising cost of living is already forcing people to leave this region, and we should be working to prevent this outward migration and make it easier for people to live, work, and thrive in these rural Alaska communities. I understand that the state is facing a budget crisis and that it's difficult decisions that need to be made. However, a regressive tax is not the solution and will not help Alaska at large. I respectfully ask that you do not support this plan. And I do appreciate your time this evening, and thank you for all that you do to support our state.
Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Jimmy.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just wanted to send out my appreciation to you, to Mrs. Stickler, for calling in and giving that good testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Last up, I've got Leon James calling in from Anchorage. If you could put yourself on the record.
Hello, thank you for taking my testimony. My name is Leon Hymas, and I'm from Anchorage. I'm opposed to a sales tax under this bill. I think it would disproportionately hurt, rural Alaskans and people of lower income. And I was looking at some of the sales tax exemptions in Wasilla's sales tax, and there's things like child and daycare services. There's medical supplies, postage and shipping supplies, all of these things that are uniquely you know, more common in Alaska, I think, that wouldn't be exempted in the proposed sales tax. And then, you know, on top of that, as one of the callers earlier was pointing out, that, you know, when goods get to rural Alaska, they already cost a significant amount more in energy costs, and none of that is exempted. And so I would just urge you all to oppose this. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for calling in. We do still have 20 more minutes scheduled for public testimony, and we might have folks call in a little later. So we'll come back in, say, 15 minutes. That'll put us at 7:25 and see if we've got anyone else. And if not, then we'll go ahead and adjourn out for the evening. So with that, we're going to take a brief at ease. Okay, thanks everybody for coming back here. The time is 7:28 p.m. House Finance, and we're taking public testimony. And we have three more people online. That's Stephen Toms from Birchwood, Jim Haslett, and Doug Goering. And so with that, I would like to just checking in on the room here really quick. If we could first go to Stephen Toms, and Mr. Toms, if you can put yourself on the record, state your name and your affiliation, and proceed with your testimony. And thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes, this is Stephen Toms in Birchwood. Independent Party.
Mr. Toms, so sorry. Are you on a speaker, possibly? It's just coming in very muffled.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
I want to express my opinion on the oil tax. I would like to see the oil tax go back to pre there was a couple administrations that had cut the oil tax. And as a result, over the last almost 20 years, we have seen that the legislature is dipping into the permanent fund to pay for services that the oil tax should be paying for. I'd like to see the old standard reinstated, and also the legislature leave the permanent fund alone. So, and as far as sales tax, we shouldn't have it if we reinstate the old oil tax.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Toms. I don't see any questions. I believe that was the conclusion of your testimony. And
yeah.
Okay.
And that's it. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, next up we have Jim Hazlett calling in from Wasilla. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Yes. Hello, this is Jim Hazlett, a 40-year Alaskan, the Interior and South Central. And here's my thoughts on our current situation. An Alaska sales tax, that's not a bad idea if we're smart enough to charge it to non-residents, not to residents. Simple driver's license will solve that problem. But anyway, that's worked in other towns in Alaska seasonally. I don't know if the state's smart enough to duplicate that, but it's worked for Homer, at least. Another thought is, why are we considering a sales tax at all? When we have people coming up here, someone earlier said 24%. I don't know that number is accurate or not. But there's a whole lot of folks who come up here from outside, jump a jet in Tucson, Texas, wherever, jump up here, make their money on the slope, fly back out, don't pay a penny in income tax. And I'm just not smart enough to figure out why the legislature hasn't taken advantage of that and said, hey, you're going to come up here, you're going to make money, you need to pay an income tax. Every other state in the union I know of does it. Why aren't we that smart? And with that, since I anticipate no questions, having watched this for a while, I just want you to know that you guys are not doing it. You need to take some advice from folks like myself and draw the money you need from somewhere besides the PFD and the general fund. We have options. You just have to be smart enough to take advantage of it. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you for calling. I don't see any questions. So lastly, we'll go to Doug Goering calling in from Fairbanks. If you can state your name and your affiliation.
Yes, hi, this is Doug Goering. I'm calling from Fairbanks. I'm a 65-year resident of the state of Alaska. And just wanted to provide some thoughts about taxation and the connection to the PFD. As many of the folks that have testified already this evening have pointed out, sales tax is a pretty regressive tax, and it probably would hit rural communities much harder than it hits more the urban communities in the state. An income tax, on the other hand, would not be so regressive. Either an income tax or a state sales tax would require, you know, a new state bureaucracy to implement. So we're talking about another taxation agency that the state would have to fund and operate. At the same time, we fund, of course, the permanent fund division. So now we have one state agency handing money out and another state agency collecting money. It seems to me that something that should be considered again, and I know this has been, I think this has been looked at in the past, is trying to connect the two and instead of generating a new state taxation agency, rather have the permanent fund distributed in a progressive, potentially means-tested way. That would not be a regressive tax, and it would not bleed money out of the state in the form of federal income taxes, as any relatively high-income person in Alaska knows. You send probably 25 or 30% of each permanent fund dividend check to the federal government. So anyway, I think rather than creating a new taxation agency, if we could look at some sort of a progressive payout of the permanent fund dividend that would not harm rural residents, would not harm low-income or even medium income residents, but would only affect higher-income residents that can most afford this sort of thing. So it would have the elements of non-regressivity, such as an income tax, but it wouldn't require new state agencies to implement. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. We do have a question, Representative Stout.
Then Co-Chair Foster's the chair. I just want to thank you for calling in and your thoughtful testimony. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. I don't see anybody else. Have I missed anybody? It doesn't look like it. I don't believe we have anybody else in the room who'd like to testify. So with that, I appreciate everybody who has called in to testify. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow, Friday, February 6th at 1:30 p.m. And at that meeting, we'll hear budget overviews by the Department of Natural Resources from Environmental Conservation and Fish and Game. And so if there is nothing else to come before the committee, we will be adjourned at 7:35 p.m. Thank you.